This morning's scripture will be read from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 16. That's Matthew 16, 13 through 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. Hope you had a wonderful Bible class and a good study, and it is a delight to be together. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. We let Mark come in first. I said, Mark, you go ahead. They'll think you're going to preach this morning. Mark said, I'm not going in there. You don't want me. Jesus asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? We are closing up the series on the I Am statements in the book of John, which is where we'll spend most of our time this morning. But Matthew 13 to 16 made a good introduction in that many people talked about Jesus and what he was and what they thought he was. And you hear some of the statements there. He's John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. The Lord asked, who do you say that I am? And eventually Peter said, you're the Christ. Well, not a whole lot has changed in 2,000 years. People still talk about Jesus in a variety of ways. The Pharisees said he was a sinner, John 9:24. In fact, they come right out and say, we know it. We know this man is a sinner. I've had discussions with people who's told me Jesus never claimed to be divine. They said he's a good man. They said he's a prophet. But he's not the divine Son of God. In fact, they assured me he never would say such a thing. They said other people said it about him, but he never made such a claim. I don't know if they've read the book of John, because John says he's writing to evoke no other conclusion in one's mind who reads it that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, John says there were many other things Jesus did in the presence of his disciples he didn't write. And he says, these are written that you might believe. John goes on to say in his book that there were many things Jesus did, and he said if they were all written, he doesn't suppose the world could contain the books. Such was the life of our Savior. But these I am statements have not been about what others said about Jesus. The power and the magnitude of the I am statements have been Jesus saying these things about himself. And what Jesus says about himself, well, one, it should leave us no doubt about who or what he is, but it evidences like nothing else the absolute essential nature of Jesus in one's life. In fact, if you don't have Jesus, friends, the truth of the matter is you're living, but it's not much of a life. And in the end, it will only lead to death. Such is the force, the power, the necessity of Jesus. So this morning, we will do something rare in this congregation. We will end a series. Somebody said, I thought you made it last week. I thought you were going to make it. I thought we were going to end the series. And then you said, nope, one more. But I assure you, this is the end of this series. Let's look back at what we've talked about very quickly this morning. Seven things Jesus says he is. We won't go obviously into the detail we did for everyone, but we want to make the points that he made. And we want to close this series with this thought. Jesus Christ is essential, period. And we'll say what he's essential for, but he's essential. If you don't have Jesus, friends, you don't have anything. That's just the truth of the matter and the force of his words. The first one we talked about is found in John chapter 6. You have your Bibles. John chapter 6, verse number 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, or the bread of life is he which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. He said it on multiple occasions in the chapter, verse 35, verse 51. He says it again. The Jews strove about it. What does he mean, I'm the bread of life? Well, Jesus is essential to your soul's health. The sustenance for your soul is Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, your soul, simply put, will shrivel up and die. That's just the way it works. Your soul needs to eat, and the only thing that can satisfy and sustain a soul is Jesus. Throughout the chapter, you actually learn what he means by that. We said when we looked at the chapter is about bread. In fact, the Jews talked about manna. Their fathers ate manna, and Jesus said, no, that's not the true manna. I'm the bread of life. But then as you read through the chapter, we notice the Jews striving about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. And so you need a verse like verse 63, where John records our Lord saying, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You need his word. Later in the chapter, when some of his disciples ceased to follow him, they would no longer go with him. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? Jesus turned to the apostles and asked, will you also go away? Now, this is about verse 66, and you need these verses, 66 through 68, where Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And friends, please mark that down in your mind. Lock it away. Hold on to it tight. If Jesus has the words of eternal life, to whom will you go if you leave him? That's Peter's point. Jesus says, will you go away? Peter says, where? Where would we go if we leave you? To whom would we go if we leave you? You have the words of eternal life, the only substance that can supply, satisfy, and sustain the soul is the words of Jesus. Friends, you need Jesus. He's essential to your soul's health. But secondly, Jesus is essential to one's understanding. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The source of illumination and enlightenment is Jesus. Friends, you can be ignorant about a great many things in this world. In fact, I trust that all of us are ignorant about some things. And the truth of the matter is, you can be ignorant about a lot of stuff and it never actually affect your life. You will suffer no ill effects if you don't know rocket science. Not in a practical way of living. I'm not saying there's not benefits to saying to knowing rocket science. So for all of my rocket scientists out there, I mean you no harm. There is clearly benefit to understanding rocket science. Clearly there is. But what I'm saying is you can live an entire life. Never learn propulsion of engines and moving. You'd never learn that. And you get right on through life. You don't have to sit around and try to figure out where's Hoffa buried. If you don't ever figure that one out, you'll get on through life. And you can be ignorant about a lot of stuff. In fact, it's helpful to have people who know. Sometimes you don't have to know. I just have to know the person who knows. I can remain ignorant until I need it, and then I call so-and-so, and I know they know. Great. But you can't do that with Jesus. One of the things that just captures humans' imaginations is more knowledge. And the more secretive and hidden you can make that knowledge, the more we're in. There's a reason people are still watching documentaries on the former President Kennedy's assassination. Still watching. Did the bullet come from? Could you get that? If you can figure out, books written, libraries full. In the first century world, the Gnostics came and crept into the church, and one of the things they said they had was secret knowledge. We just give you some secret knowledge and insight. You can be enlightened. In fact, is how you and I spend some of our time. Have you heard? Did you know? And aren't you always glad to be the one to share? And did you know so-and-so-and-so-and-so? They not together no more. They were together, but girl, they broke up. No, I didn't know they broke up. Have you seen the latest? Knowledge. We love knowledge. And the more secretive you make. Friend, listen to what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying your soul needs illumination and enlightenment. And I am the only source for that. I am the light that takes you out of darkness. Any man who follows me, he'll have enlightenment. Any man who follows me, he will have understanding. But if you don't follow me, you will grope in darkness. Friends, you can be ignorant of a lot of stuff and it not affect your life. You cannot afford to be ignorant about Jesus. It will affect your life here and it will affect your life eternally. But then thirdly, Jesus is essential to one's entrance into the kingdom. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, verse number 7, I am the door. I am the door, he says. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep would not listen to them. Without Jesus, one remains outside, shut up, shut out, and locked out from God's flock. In fact, you cannot get in to the heritage of God without Jesus. You and I probably don't think much about doors very frequently. We just go in and out of them without much thought, but they provide some wonderful function. Doors separate. Come in out of the cold. What did you just cross through? A door. Doors separate. They protect. Every time you go home at night and lock your doors, don't you feel safer on the inside with the door locked? Don't you feel better about that? Then outside exposed, don't be out at night. Get home, get inside, get behind the door. They conceal, but they also allow access and entrance. And so they're used frequently in Scripture. The 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 5 of them were foolish and the door closed. And when the door closed, they were shut out and never allowed access and entrance. What kept them from the bridegroom? The door did that. But as far back as Genesis chapter 6, Noah's ark had a door. God said, come inside. And then he closed the door. When God closes the door, no man can open it. And when God opens the door, no man can close it. While we are living, the door is open. Jesus is saying, come to me. I'll give you rest. Come enter through me. Jesus is saying, the door is open. But friends, if you leave here, if you leave this world apart from Jesus, and friends, the door will be closed and you will have no hope. You will be without God in this world. You will be lost and shut out from the hope of heaven eternally. If you reject Jesus, you close the only door to set you free. You reject Jesus, you will be held in darkness, your soul imprisoned in confusion, held hostage to hopelessness, locked away from life eternal. Jesus said, I am the door. But then fourthly, Jesus is essential to the care of your soul. In the same chapter, John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. We talked about shepherds at length on that sermon. I remember we talked about the Jews being shepherds. We talked about all the way back to Abel providing a sheep in his offering, blood atonement. We talked about Jacob losing sleep for the sheep. Talked about him telling Pharaoh, my fathers were shepherds and we are shepherds. We said David was a shepherd. He would have known. He fought the bear and the lion to protect the sheep. And then penned those words in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. We asked then, and let me ask now, if Jesus doesn't shepherd your soul, who does? If Jesus' rod and his staff doesn't provide reproof and correction for your soul, if Jesus doesn't corral your soul, who does? One of the phrases in Scripture that's sad to read, but it's read often, it sounds something like this. They were scattered as sheep without a shepherd. How does that sound in a description of our world? Like sheep without a shepherd. Where does the world go to for boundaries? That's what a shepherd would provide. The sheep wouldn't be able to wander freely. The shepherd would intervene and say, come back this way. He would set boundaries and parameters. But where do they go for food and sustenance for their soul? Where does the world go? The shepherd would take them to green pastures. The shepherd would lead them by still water. Where does the world go for its soul sustenance? You and I are looking at a world that looks just like that description, sheep scattered without a shepherd. Friends, you cast off Jesus. Who's going to shepherd your soul? Jeremiah says, we don't know the way, and so who does? Again, he gets back to his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This shepherd leads and teaches and guides and corrects. He forgives. He restores. He renews. In fact, the good shepherd is described in John 10, 17 and 18 as laying down his life for the sheep. Somebody will say, well, I have a shepherd. And I would ask, does he lay down his life for you? You say, no, but he's okay. He might be willing to do it. For a good man, some would even dare to die. Okay, he laid down his life for you. Another question, can he take it again? The good shepherd said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Does your shepherd have that power? It brings us to the next point. Because of who this shepherd is and what he's capable of, Jesus is essential to eternal life. Jesus is not one of these teachers who sits in a classroom and talks about it in theory. No. Because of all of these claims, when their brother died, Mary and Martha said, go get Jesus. He's not just a talker. When Jesus arrived, they said to him, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Can your shepherd do that? Your shepherd have the power for his followers to not believe in theory, to come out of the classroom into real life, because in real life people die. Shepherd needs an answer. When Jesus showed up, he said, I'm glad I wasn't here. I'm glad I wasn't here so you could see. Jesus stood in front of the tomb and said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. No worries here. You haven't figured out a situation that puts me in jeopardy. Lazarus, come forth. When the person shepherding your soul reaches death, what then? You see, for people who eat the bread, for people who walk in the light, for people who enter through the door and follow the shepherd, when death comes to those people, they have no fear. They have no fright. They are not afraid of death because they know the shepherd they followed walked out of the tomb himself. And that because he raised Lazarus, he will one day raise them. But that's only if you have Jesus. Friends, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Jesus is essential to get to the Father. That's what we read in John chapter 14, number 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Friends, we ask you, do you believe Jesus? I remember us asking, this was right about the time the microphone went crazy, but I remember us asking, do you believe Jesus? I remember us asking you to challenge the three statements. Don't just believe them out of hand. Don't just believe them out of source. No, go home, examine them, find some answers to them, search them out, seek them. Put something next to Jesus and say, no, this is it, instead of Jesus. When Jesus says, I'm the way, you come up with another way. Put it next to Jesus. Let's hear about it. Let's find out what your way is. Jesus says, no man comes to the Father but by me. And you say, no, 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 that can't be wrong. What is? What's your way? You didn't come home. If you didn't go home last week and find another way, did you concede then Jesus is the way? Jesus says, I'm the truth. Man, stand up. I don't care how many pins he's got in his pocket. I don't care how white his jacket is. And I don't care how many degrees he has said to have earned. I don't care. It means nothing to me by way of acknowledgement of truth. If that man rises from his seat or woman and disagrees with something Jesus said, I know this, somebody's wrong and it ain't Jesus. But that might be just good preacher talk on a Sunday morning. That might be one of those times where Christians go home and say, yeah, preachers just be saying that stuff. You girl, you know. Boy, you know we don't really believe that stuff. That might be when you get to school and somebody stands up and say something contrary. Well, you and I just shrink under the seat. That might be when we go home and give consent. But here's what I didn't say. You know, if Jesus is the truth, he's the truth on every subject he touches. So then if you and I believe it, why are we having difficulties with our children? And children, why are you having difficulties with your parents if both groups believe it? Why are husbands and wives getting divorced in the church if both people believe Jesus? Why are churches dividing, fighting one with another, if both people believe Jesus? Amen. Oh, we were talking about the world. Jesus talking to his disciples. This is what Jesus said to those who believed in him. If you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But we believe Jesus is the truth and the life. That's what we talked about in John chapter 14. There is no way to the Father but Jesus. Some people belittle the church, badmouth the church, and then talk about the church and say, well, you just said it. You said they were hypocrites. I didn't say that. That's what people say, though. We're challenged with belief. We struggle in our lives, no doubt about it. But then people look and say, and that's why I don't want no religion right there. That's why I don't believe it. That's why, really? Jesus is not the truth because we practice it perfectly. Jesus is the truth that even allows us to practice. Jesus is the truth that allows entrance into the religion. Doesn't change or is not altered because we don't practice it just right. Truth of the matter is God didn't have another plan but Jesus. Friends, if you don't have Jesus, you can't have the Father. This idea that you can circumvent Jesus and get to the Father is just not Bible, friends. You are going to go a long way around and you're never getting home if you try to get around Jesus. I want God, but I don't want the church. Can't have it. I want God, but I don't want Jesus and those doctrines. Can't have it. I want God, but I want, friends, you can't get there yourself. You don't have Jesus, you can't make it. And then finally this, Jesus is essential to our continuance. John chapter 15, verse number 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And what these verses teach is simply this. We must start our relationship with God through Jesus, and we must continue our relationship with God through Jesus. There is no other way. In fact, Jesus says in John 15:6, without me, you can do nothing. Think about the force of that. apart from the vine, apart from Jesus, apart from the sustenance, apart from the way, the truth, you can do nothing apart from Jesus. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I don't even know what that means. Truth of the matter is, I'd like to say I do. I don't. I don't know what that means. And if you do know what that means, you'll come by to me out there in the foyer this morning. Please tell me. I'd love to hear. I don't know what that means. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Christianity is a religion. The words are spiritual, John 6:63. How do you get to be a Christian without being religious? The only way I can ascertain that is you make it up. You have to make up what that means. Are you the author of this new religion called spirituality? Is that yours? You've created it? And if you have, how does Jesus fit into the life of a spiritual, non-religious person? Where does Jesus fit into that? Because Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If Jesus is not involved, I don't know how you do it. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. Jesus said, I'm the door. You enter by me or you don't enter. Jesus said that. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said that. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. And without me, you can do nothing. Now, how do you get to be spiritual without Jesus? All of this is the case. And John writes all that he does because John opened his book with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John says Jesus is divine in his nature. Matthew says, God with us. John says, the Word made flesh. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work, John 5:17-18. Therefore, the Jews sought to kill him, not only because he had violated the Sabbath day, but because he said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. The Jews sought to kill him. Jesus asked for good works. What do you kill me for? Which one of these good works? They said, for good works, we don't kill you, but for blasphemy. Because you said, God was your Father, making yourself equal with God. Jesus said to Philip, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Why is Jesus essential? Because Jesus is God in the flesh. Friends, if you don't have Jesus, you can't have God. And friends, if you don't have God, you can't have life, you can't have hope, and you can't have heaven. You hear this morning, are you a Christian? The religion of Jesus makes Christians. Doesn't make anything else. It doesn't make hyphenated Christians. You get no other name. You won't be a denominational name Christian. Nope, that's not what the Bible does. Jesus just makes Christians. Acts 11:26, after they had continued there about a year, after the Gentiles obeyed the Gospels, they were first called Christians in Antioch. That's all you'll ever read. Christians. Friends, if you're not a Christian, you need to be. And there's only one person, one being who can make you a Christian, and that's Jesus. In the Bible, they became Christians by believing in him. John 8:24, Jesus said, we must. They became Christians because they turned away from sin. They repented, the Bible says, Luke 13:3, and Jesus said, without that you'll perish. They confessed his name. They didn't confess their sins. They repented from sin. They confessed their belief in Jesus. Acts 4:12, Matthew 10:32-33, Romans 10:9-10. We confess with our mouths, we acknowledge that the very thing he claimed to be, he is, and I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that. It's the only point being made and pressed and asked. Do you believe? As Jesus said to Mary and Martha, believest thou this? You stand and you confess, I believe it. Number me with those who believe in Jesus. There is this thing on the web you can do. And I don't know, some people seem to take great interest in it. You can go and type in and ask who the atheists are in Hollywood. Who are atheists? Your favorite celebrity, are they? And you can read their comments and their statements. And they're so glib and happy to announce, I believe this. This is where you'll find me. You want to know what I believe? I don't believe in God. I don't believe it. I'm an avowed atheist. And the list is extensive. It just goes on and on. Now, what I wonder is, how come Christians can't do the same? I believe in Jesus. There's no problem telling you that. No, if you want to know which side I'm on, number me with the people who believe in Jesus. And I don't want you to be confused. I don't have one of those beliefs that looks the same as this when it's all boiled down. No, sir. It is the exact opposite of this. You number me on this side. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he's divine in his essence and in his nature. I believe he's equal with the Father. I believe the Bible. If you believe that, then let the world know. Stop shrinking and cowering and going around slithering, hoping they don't find out. Jesus said, you believe this? And when his disciples walked away, he simply turned to others and asked, will you also go away? Because if anybody knows who he is, he does. And it's not altered or changed by our belief or rejection of it. The only thing is whether or not that belief will lead us to heaven or that unbelief will lead us to a devil's hell. That's the only thing in question. Confess the name of Jesus and be immersed in water. Bury with him in baptism for the remission of sins and let Jesus, not the church, not the people, let Jesus save you from your sins. There is no vote to take. There are no committees to weigh in. There are no formal and other doctrines to believe. You obey the gospel, God through Jesus saves. And you become his. And there's nothing in the world anybody can ever do to change that. And no hoops to jump through. No traditions and doctrines of men. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe and obey his gospel. He saves you from your sins. Friends, if you haven't done that, you need to. If you have, may we do what the Lord said in John 15, abide, abide, abide in me. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.